Scripture reading this morning will be coming from Luke chapter 2, Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 46 and reading through the end of the chapter. Luke chapter 2, verses 46 through the end of the chapter. We'll be reading from the New King James Version, and it reads, "Now so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said to him, 'Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously.' And he said to them, 'Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?' But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them, but his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men."
Appreciate the scripture reading, and actually the song that was sung before or led before we got up here on this morning, and I believe it really does fit what we want to discuss on this morning. Luke chapter 2, we are discussing growing in knowledge this month, and we're going to be looking at various aspects of growing in knowledge. Of course, you have the QR code for those who want to get the notes and have the notes. Sister Tony was not here, and I had some technical difficulties, and so we'll get those copies for those who cannot do the QR code. I apologize for that right now. Growing in knowledge like Jesus did. When we consider growing in knowledge, we're talking about increasing in information. And our foundation is built upon the information that we take in. And this is why, as the people of God, we have to be reading and understanding and applying God's word to our lives. It's not enough just to read. It's not enough just to understand. But we have to apply what we understand and what we have read. And it is through that application that we actually get to learn about who God is. And when we consider that, we can help others as well when we do this. And so what we want to do for a few minutes is learn about how Jesus came to be the person that he is and that he was on the face of the earth those 33 years. If you will, in Luke chapter 2, we take notice of something that's very interesting. Number one, Jesus grew because of his parents' commitment. The more I was thinking about this and considering the commitment that Mary and Joseph had, it wowed me as I was pondering these things. And as a parent myself, as a man that has already reared children and hopefully will have the privilege of helping to rear grandchildren, it caused me to think about some things, because we find something very interesting in Luke chapter 2, starting at verse number 21 through 24. Why did Jesus grow? He grew because God chose the right parents for him. God chose the right parents for him. In verse number 21 through 24, we take notice of something in Luke chapter 2. "And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb." It's interesting there. We see 8 days and he was circumcised. That goes back to Leviticus chapter 12 and verse number 3. And we understand that that was part of the Mosaic law. It was part of the law of the Lord. God commanded that the male child be circumcised, the cutting away of the foreskin of the male child. And God gave this command for an identity purpose. And this would separate them from all other males, if you will. But also in verse number 4, we see that Mary, of course, Joseph, the implication there, he's right there with her. In verse number 2, we see, now when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, was completed. Notice, this will go back to Leviticus chapter 12 and verse number 4. Some 33 days she had to remain on the outside, if you will, for her purification. This ought to tell us that they adhered to the law of Moses. The law of Moses meant something to them. But then we see that they offered a sacrifice. If you look down in verse number 24, and to offer a sacrifice according to the law, or according to what is said in the law of the Lord. And notice what they gave, a pair of turtle doves and two young pigeons. This will go back to Leviticus 12 and verse 8. And this was the sacrifice of the poor. Here's the point that we want to make here, is that Jesus' parents were committed to God. They were committed to the law. If children are going to grow and be the people that God will have them to be in the future, their parents must be committed to the law of Christ. They have to be committed. And this goes for grandparents. We have to be committed and help our children with their children. Drop down to verse 39. Why did Jesus grow? He grew because their commitment led to Jesus growing in four different areas. Look at verse number 39 and verse number 40. So when they had performed all things, notice, not some things, not 99% of the things, not what they wanted to complete according to the law of the Lord. Friends, notice, all things according to the law. Is it possible to do God's will? The answer is absolutely yes. It is possible to do the will of Almighty God. A lot of times we want to focus on Jesus. And the more I was thinking about this, I said, you know, I need to focus on the parents. I need to focus on Mary and focus on Joseph. And notice what they did, giving Jesus the greatest chance to be successful as the Word of God in the flesh. He was taught. And notice verse number 40. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom. And notice what the Bible here says. And the grace of God was upon him. Four things we see there, and it's very clear that God was with this child. Why? He grew. He became strong in his mind, in his conscience, in his will. But he was filled, literally, he was filled to the full with the wisdom of God. And God's favor was upon him. Well, it kind of reminds me of Proverbs 22 in verse number 5. You're probably thinking, well, this is just for the parents. I'm an older person. This has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with all of us, because all of us are still children of Almighty God. God is the Ancient of Days. He's still training us if we will allow him. His rod and his reproof will still help us if we will allow that. So in verse number 39, we see that they perform all things according to the law of the Lord, i.e. the law of Moses, the law in which they were under. But look at verse number 41 and 42. Put your seatbelts on. Parents, we need to all put our seatbelts on right here. Here we see his parents went to Jerusalem when they felt like it and kept the feast of the Passover. Is that what your Bible says? Brother Sean, that's not what it says, right? Brother Brian, that's not what it says. It seems like, friend, they did exactly what God wanted them to do. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. What does that tell us? That tells us that Jesus had a great example of consistency. He had a great example in front of him of people that truly loved the law of Moses, loved the law of God. Friends, if our young people are going to see that God is a serious being, they got to see it in us. Well, they ought to see it in the members, not just their parents. Parents, grandparents, be consistent in your attendance to the services of God. And friends, it was a command for them to go up every year to keep the three feasts, Leviticus chapter 23, verses 1 through verse 15, and it is a command for us, according to Acts 20 and verse number 7, Acts 2, verses 40 through verse number 47. Friends, it's a command for us. And the children ought to be able to see that. And when they see that, friends, they'll be able to see the consistency of God. Well, why did Jesus grow? He grew because of his commitment to his Father in heaven as well. The more I thought about this and I think about what Jesus did, friends, if you look at verse number 42 and 43, here he's 12 years old. He's keeping the custom. He's following his parents' way, if you will. Their pattern. He's seeing that. And notice what it creates within him in verse number 43. When they had finished the days as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. Remember, he's 12. Now, Brother Chad brought out an excellent point one time, being a prodigy. Remember you made that point, being a prodigy. It's a great point. And the more I've been thinking about that point, I've been thinking about the parents had something to do with him being that prodigy. God did not choose Mary and Joseph on accident. God did not choose Mary and Joseph because they were not already adherers of the law. Friends, this ought to teach us that our children are going to go as far as we point them. Psalm 127 verses 1 through 5. They're like arrows in the hands of a mighty warrior. And so here, the boy Jesus, he lingers behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it. But suppose he was with the company. And so they went a day's journey, if you notice that, and they sought after him, but they couldn't find him. Verse number 45. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now, so it was that after 3 days, they found him in the temple. Notice what he was doing. He was sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening and asking them questions. And those who heard were astonished. Well, how did Jesus get to this point? Because he had good parents. Parents that was consistent with the law. Parents that loved the law of God. Parents that actually instilled the word of God into the mind, the conscience, the will of Jesus Christ. Keep in mind, Philippians 2, verses 6 and 7, Jesus being the word in flesh, Jesus did not have an advantage over us, friends. God in the flesh suppresses that, and he didn't use all of that power in order to do the will of God, friends. What did he do? He learned God. Hebrews 5 and verse number 8, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Could Jesus have sinned against God? He could have. And we know he could have sinned because he had the not my will, but thy will be done mentality. We know that. And so that ought to encourage us that, hold on, if Jesus could do it, I can do it. Sometimes in the denominational world, what they say, well, he's God, so there's no way we can be like him. Friends, if we concentrate and truly get the word of God in our hearts and teach our children and bend their will according to the will of God, which means that we need to admonish them, we need to train them, we need to nurture them and give them a fighting chance at the will of God, friends. It's no way that if Mary and Joseph did not do their job, that Jesus would have lingered in the temple asking questions, listening to them. Friends, it sounds like this young boy was on his way to doing great things. They were astonished. Question. Can we rear children that way? I believe we could. As a matter of fact, no one's asking our children to be perfect. We are asking them to do what's right. Did Jesus have an opportunity to learn from his parents as he grew up? You better believe he did. Did Jesus play as a child? You better believe he did. Just like us. Just like children. And the things that he learned as a child demonstrates the parenting skills of Joseph and Mary and their consistency as they reared him. As they nurtured him, as they helped him to be the person that he needed to be. And we know this to be true because even Mary, when she did not find him, what did she say? Why did you trouble us? She admonished him. She didn't scold him. She admonished him. She didn't break his will. She admonished him. God does us the same way. Those whom he loves, he chastens. God doesn't try to break us. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 9 and following. God wants to mold us. He wants to admonish us. He wants to help us to be what? Just like his son, Romans 8, verse 29, conformed to his will. Oh, parenting. I don't know what we see in the world today, but we see a man by the person of Jesus who was committed to his father. Why was he committed to his father? Because he loved fellowship. He lingered there in the temple as a young boy. He loved fellowship. He wanted to hear what the older men had to say inside of the temple. He wanted fellowship. He was learning. And he knew why he was here. Look at verse number 49, after the admonishment from his mother. And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" He knew why he was here, even at 12. At 12 years old, he knew why he was upon the earth. Perhaps through the reading, perhaps looking at all other prophecies, perhaps his mother told him. I don't know, but we do know this. He knew, "I must be about my father's business." Is it possible for us as parents to teach our children that your business is the father's business? Yes. And how do we do that? By teaching them God's will. Point number two, why is this important? Because Jesus grew, he was able to do a few things. As I was thinking about this, I was considering growth. And can we grow without the knowledge of the Word of God? Can we grow if we don't spend time with the Word of God? I'm thankful to be around people who spend time in the Word of God. If you weren't in Bible class, it was a great Bible class. People who study and read God's Word, willing to sharpen iron, Proverbs 27, verse 17. Brethren, we need to all read and study God's word. Just because Mike Bonner says something don't make it right. Amen. Right? Okay. As long as y'all know that. Because some men believe just because they are the preacher, it has to be right because they said it. No. It's right when it's God's word. That's when it's right. Jesus. Because he spent time in the Word of God, because his parents spent time teaching him the Word of God, because his parents were consistent with the law of God, because his parents was consistent in the attendance to the feast, this man did wonderful things, great things, powerful things. We're still reading about this man 2,000 years later, and we're in awe of him. And so what did he do? Jesus grew, and he was able to, number one, referred to the scriptures in a sharp fashion. Here, Satan comes to him. Turn these stones into bread. How did he respond? It is written. Friends, when we are responding, whether it is to our own issues, our own sin, issues of other people, questions to other people, friends, we respond with the sharpness of the Word of God. That's what we respond with. I cannot stand, I'm not the standard, I cannot stand when someone tries to appeal to philosophy and reason when a biblical question or statement is made. Who cares what I think? What does the Word of God says? Jesus would respond with the Word of God, even when it came to dealing with those religious opponents, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. They will always try to find Jesus in a trap. And so because Jesus grew, he was able to face the oppositions in life with the wisdom of God. Look at Matthew 19. Look at verses 3-5. This context here is dealing with marriage and divorce. And here, notice what they tried to do to Jesus in verse number 3. The Pharisees, the religious leaders, the ones that actually came about during the intertestamental period. The Pharisees also came to him, notice, testing him, saying to him, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason?" And he goes on and on and on. Have you not read? Notice what he refers to, Brian Braswell, the Word of God. How do we deal with the opposers, those who are in opposition of the Word of God, with the Word of God. That's how we deal with it. Jesus did not appeal to his own reasoning. As a matter of fact, Jesus understood, according to John 12, verse number 47 to verse number 50, that it wasn't his word. So in Matthew chapter 22, we see the same idea, the same individuals, the Pharisees, trying to trap Jesus concerning the paying of taxes. How did Jesus respond? The word of God. What's our point? That if we're going to grow and be like our Lord, our Master, shouldn't we imitate him in as many ways as possible? Because Jesus grew, he was able to comfort those who were hurting because of sin and who was mistreated. Let me give you one passage. Look at Luke chapter 5, verse number 32. In Luke chapter 5 and verse number 32, we see something very interesting. Jesus, he was a very balanced individual. He was balanced, which ought to teach us the same. Teach us balance. Why was Jesus upon the earth? Why did Jesus come? Did he come just to save men from their sins? Did he come just to save man from the wrath of God? In verse number 31, Jesus answered and said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." What do we learn from Jesus? We learn that when we read God's word and we really take it in, we understand it, we apply it, we put ourselves in a position to comfort people. And friends, I was talking to a brother in Abilene this morning, and he had a friend that from work that committed suicide. And it's the third one within the last couple of months. He said, "I don't know what it is, why people are resorting to killing themselves. Maybe because they believe there's something better on the other side." But friends, there's nothing better on the other side of suicide at all. Because suicide is self-murder. If anything, we ought to be trying to comfort people with the word of God. And so Jesus would say in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke, my teaching upon you, and learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart." Here it is. "You shall find rest unto your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." We ought to be running to God. We ought to be learning enough of God's word that we can help people run to God. Don't run to the pistol. Don't run to the alcohol. Don't run to the weed. Don't run to the methamphetamines. Don't run to God. This is what we ought to be doing. Jesus said, "I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Those who are really sick, those are the ones I'm looking for. And so because Jesus grew as a young person, I find it interesting, from the time that he was 12 to the time that he was 30, we hear nothing about the life of Jesus. And then at the time of 30, we find something very interesting, and he takes off in his ministry. Love that about God. That's why anything worth doing is worth just working with and staying low until you get all of the information that you need, and then pop up and you get going. Sometimes people try to get out there too fast. Because Jesus grew, he was able to command discipleship from his followers. He was able to communicate with his heavenly Father in a very masterfully way. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 35, he had a great prayer life. Long before day, rose up early in the morning, the Bible says there he prayed. He would communicate with his Father. Taught me some things. What did it teach you? What is God teaching us? It ought to be teaching us, or he ought to be teaching us, that even in the midst of extreme times of hardship, that we can go to God in a very intimate way. And we see that in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 7. Vehement cries, struggling in his soul, in his spirit. But what did he do? He went to God. But what did that take? It took him reading God's word. It took him understanding the word of God. It took his parents teaching him the word of God. It took his parents being consistent with the word of God. If you don't have children, Get that down before you start having children so they can see the consistency. And so you can see your children for who they are and bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But Brother Mike, what if my children are not in the Lord? Then you do all that you can to help them now. It's never too late to bring them to the Lord. We have people obeying the gospel all the time at late ages in life. And I'll leave you with this point. Because Jesus grew, he was able to endure the cross. He knew why he was here. Friends, when we know God's word, when we understand the will of God, the word of God, when we are applying the word of God, then we can endure our own cross. We live in a time where it seems like even in the church, people are just ready to give up so quickly. No, hang in there. Remember the one you're following. How do you hang in there? Knowledge of the word of God. Understanding of the will of God. And we can know God's will, Ephesians 5 and verse 17. Be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Friends, we can. And so Jesus is the one we look to. But why? A good brother said this in Bible class one time, and it was actually helped me to have a better understanding of Hebrews chapter 12, 2 and 3, looking unto Jesus. Here it is, the author, the perfecter of our faith. Who? For the joy, here it is, that was set before him. What joy? Endured the cross, despised the shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He brought that point out that he was looking forward to sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. That's what we ought to be looking forward to. That's why we hang in there. But you can't hang in there if you don't have the knowledge of God's word. If you're not growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Friends, pick up your Bible this week. Study the Bible this week. Point number three is all yours. It's all yours. Study that for yourself. I guarantee you, friends, if we ponder and we think about what God desires out of every single soul, we have just been so privileged to obey the gospel. And now we're in Christ. And what are we trying to do? We're trying to bring those who are outside of Christ, who have a misunderstanding of Christ, who have a misunderstanding of the kingdom of God, who have no understanding of the kingdom of God, nor of Christ, and trying to get them to have an understanding through the growth of God's word, through the understanding of God's word, the knowledge of God's word. Friends, faith coming by hearing, and it still comes by the word of God. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be one. We want you to consider being a child of God. Why? Because we want you to grow. And in your growth, you'll help someone else to grow. And you can be the person that God would have you to be. Jesus was the man that he became, not just because he was God in the flesh, but there were so many different components at work. And those of us who are anywhere near Jesus Christ, we're not here by ourselves. Somebody else helped us to get to where we are. Don't take no credit. For even Jesus in John 7 and verse 16, he said, "The doctrine that I have is not mine." Jesus, where did you get it from? I got it from my Father. It's my Father's doctrine. Even Jesus didn't take credit. Dare not take credit for what God is doing through your life. You give him all the glory and all the honor, but you have to do the work. And when you do the work, you can't help but to turn around and say, "To God be the glory." Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be willing to repent of sins, confess Christ to be Lord, and be buried in water for the remission of your sins. But maybe you're a child of God and, well, you haven't been growing because you haven't been reading. You haven't been growing because you haven't been studying. Or you've been reading and studying, but you have not been meditating nor applying it. Friends, you have to do all of it. You cannot spend all week with the world and think that you're going to come here and spend an hour with God. It don't work that way. You have to spend time with God. And when you do that, you'll find yourself thinking spiritually in just about everything. As we stand and as we sing our Savior's invitation.